Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wondered what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site, and if we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or Android Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we're going to continue our series in the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, give us a call at 347, that's 347-857-1322, or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. It's my pleasure to welcome my co-host, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri, to the show this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I'm very, very excited. Folks, I want to make this announcement real quick. Next week, this show will be going to 1 hour on Tuesday mornings from 10 to 11. God has blessed us with some resources to make that possible. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm just so excited. We'll actually be able to maybe get something done. Hallelujah.
Of course,
we get things done, but just not as much as you'd like to. But being able to expand to an hour, I think, is going to be a real blessing. Also, and Pastor, you and I will have to sit down and talk about this, we may be able to go to another broadcast during the week in a prime time slot. So we'll check all that out and see what comes of that. But we're excited about expanding. The show is growing. People are listening, and they're getting blessed, and I'm just excited.
Hallelujah.
You want to give us I think we're still in John chapter 12, right? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We'll be getting to from verse 37. That's where we left off.
Okay. Would you pray for us, and then we'll get started?
Oh, yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for what you are doing on this broadcast, Father. We want to thank you for the listeners, Lord God. We want to thank you every single time we sit down to break the word of life, that your Spirit is hovering over it, oh God. Father, we thank you for those that are getting healed, those who are getting delivered, Lord God, who are having different needs being met as the word is going forth. Lord, we're excited for yet another day. Holy Spirit, come, reveal the truth to us as we sit down to break the bread of life. We want to thank you that at the entrance of your word, you bring life. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen and amen. How was church yesterday or Sunday?
Sunday was wonderful. Actually, yesterday we even had another service. the Lord has spoken to Deborah of one family that needed to come together. And brother, we had a blast again Monday from 1 o'clock up to 4:30. It was such a
wonderful. Oh, wow.
And Sunday was great too, brother. We are still continuing on the teaching of the kingdom of God.
Well, you'll have to be there till kingdom comes.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
All right, well, let's get started here because, again, we only got 30 minutes today, but next week we'll be able to expand that. In verse 37 of John chapter 12, and let me give you kind of just a brief rundown, if you will. Jesus is getting himself ready to be crucified. That's about what it amounts to. He's predicted his death, and he's asked the question of who has believed this report. And many people, that's where we're at right now, people really don't understand still totally what he's talking about. And so in verse 37 it says, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. And the word of Isaiah the prophet might, so that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" Glory be to God. These things Isaiah said when he saw the glory and spoke of him. Now, I want to stop right here for a second and take some time to talk about this, because this is very, 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 very important. One of the things that happens, if you ever have an opportunity to get into a conversation where somebody wants to debate, where they want to, they have a differing opinion, and this has happened to me quite frequently here lately, and I've actually had an absolute ball doing it. I love being an apologist. You know, I'm not afraid to stand up for the cause of Christ. But one of the things that I want you to understand is that when you are speaking to these people, they cannot and will not hear you. Them might. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not a possibility that they could not be converted or get the message. But most of the time, when somebody wants to debate, it ends up being an argument instead of a debate.
Right.
And that you need to learn how to turn that around and continue to make it a debate instead of an argument. But most of those people are just like these folks. They're blind. And they can't see, even though they see what you're saying, and you can point out the scripture, and you can give them practical examples of how this has worked in your life. You can give them your testimony, but you have to understand, just like Isaiah said, these people are stiff-necked, and they will not see. Their hearts are not going to turn, and there's nothing you can do about that, and it's okay if you don't convert them. Hallelujah. You want to make a comment about that?
Yes, sir. I really do believe in what you said. There has so hardened, and then I was recalling one scripture, which is in, we know it very well, it's in, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, "Today when you hear." Now, it's on the hearing that says, don't harden your heart. And I believe they've made it a point, as you say, as you well stated it, that, you know what, I'm not going to believe whatever you're talking about, the word of God, or whatever you're talking about, Jesus. So they have already closed their hearts, and they're not ready to take in anything else.
Well, and that's absolutely correct. And here's the thing. When you get into a debate like that, if one is honest with oneself, and I think that's where the majority of the problem is. When you're listening to the other side, are you actually listening to the argument that they're presenting? Now, listen, I'm not talking about arguing. Okay, let me clarify these terms. In a debate, you present an argument. Okay,
that's right.
And
that's not right.
It's not that you're arguing, but you're presenting your facts based on your research and et cetera, et cetera. And so when that argument is presented, the question is, are you listening to the argument? Are you listening to the validity of that argument? Or are you preparing to reply to what has been said? And most of the time, it's not even about what's been said. It's about what you've been thinking about while they were talking. Oh, my
That's
goodness
right.
gracious.
So
I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but that validates and verifies what you said about hearing with your ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you have probably had conversations with people that they were listening to you, but they weren't hearing you.
Exactly. I did not. I like how you're presenting it, because do you know that in the scriptures, that's why he keeps on saying, he that has an ear, I know we've covered that a lot, but let him hear what the Spirit is saying.
Right. So the spirit of what's being said, not necessarily the vocabulary of what's being said.
Oh, Jesus. Yes.
And now there again is another problem that we face in the church today, and I've mm-hmm. talked about this a number of times, is the crisis of terminology. That's why I wanted
Correct.
To make sure I explained the terms that I was using before I used them, because if you don't understand the words that we're using to describe this thing, then it's going to be very difficult for you to come up with a legitimate opinion or even an argument against it. So that's why
right.
I'm saying, if people are honest with themselves, there is really no refutation against the word. You cannot prove the word of God wrong.
You just cannot, brother.
And the more that you try to prove it wrong, the more that you prove it right.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Amen.
And I know we're going to be seeing more of it, because I was just meditating on this word before we came on the air. I know we'll be looking at it when we come to the last part, that the word is very, very important. And Jesus was very careful every time he would listen to what the Father is saying. I know we'll get to verse 50, and that's where we'll begin to enjoy it the more.
Amen. Well, I mean, it's just like when he went and he raised Lazarus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was very specific. He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Come
because
on.
Because he knew the specificity of his word
yes.
would have created a riot in the graveyard if he had just said, come forth.
Brother, that's very true. And that's why, like you said, he was very, very, very careful that I have to call Lazarus. Because if he just says, come forth, there will be a lot of chaos that time.
Yeah, people would have been excited then, I can guarantee you.
Definitely.
But let's even go back and as a point of reference, go back to the garden with Eve, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Eve misquoted the word, and that's what opened the door for the devil to get a foothold and to actually take advantage of that situation, because she said, well, we're not supposed to eat of it, and we can't even touch it. And see, that's not at all what God said. God said, just
no.
don't eat it, because
right.
on the day that you eat it, you will surely die, you know? So that's why it is so very, very important for us to know the word and
to
be specific about it, not in generalities. I remember one time I was praying, and I asked God, I said, God, I need some money. He said, well,
right.
how much do you need? And
Uh-oh.
I said, well, enough to cover my bills. Well, how much is that? Well, I don't know. Whatever you think is appropriate. He said,
right.
well, I don't think any of it's appropriate. I said, what? He said, I am a God of specificity, not of generality.
Correct.
You ask for what you want, and I will give
yes.
you what you want, of course, as long as it lines up with the word of God. And so now
That's
you go back
true.
To the verse, we have not because we do what? We ask
we,
not.
We ask not. In
yeah,
fact,
and when we ask, we ask
yes.
amiss.
Exactly. Because we are not specific. You've just reminded me there is one man of God who the Lord was making a demonstration of the specificity. He said, do you go to the grocery store not even knowing what you're going to buy, and all you do is that, well, you're going to pull out this cart and begin, you know, pushing it around. You don't have even a list. You don't have on your mind what you're going to buy. You end up getting nothing. So it is when you're not specific. I said, how true that is.
Well, I can guarantee you I wouldn't end up with nothing. I'd end up with too much.
Only to find that, you know, you may not even have that much for that particular day.
Yeah, and it certainly wouldn't be the right stuff. I can guarantee you that. Hallelujah.
Exactly. Praise God.
I think we've chased that rabbit enough. Let's see if we can finish this chapter today. This will be a unique thing to finish a chapter.
Right.
In verse 42, he says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Glory be to God. Now, there is a mouthful, I'm telling you. Even though they believed in him, they wouldn't confess him. And what does the Bible say? All you have to do is believe and confess. And if you don't confess me, I will not confess you before the Father. And that is a terrible thing. But they were more interested in what man was saying than what than praising God. Hallelujah. Woo.
That's right.
You want to add something to that?
It takes me back. You remember Peter and John at the beginning of the ministry in the book of Acts? They say, "Shall we obey man or obey God?" And they chose to obey God. Of course, persecution was there. But I believe if we choose to obey men, sometimes that's where we have the work of God hindered and we don't experience the power of God as we should, because we seek the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Here the disciples, the apostles were saying, we are going to obey God. And you see the miracles that follow their ministry.
Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
They were told that they were going to do a certain thing, and they said, "I don't think so."
Mm-hmm.
And so they got thrown into the furnace, and when they looked in there, they saw four. And they were jumping around and dancing around and having a great time, and then they came out, and none of them even smelled like smoke.
And the ones that threw them, the Bible says the fire just jumped on them.
Consumed him, yeah. The guy that threw him in, yeah, consumed him. And see, I can relate to that because being in the fire department, I've been in the fire and in the smoke a lot of times, and I always come out smelling like smoke.
But imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the middle of the fire, but not even a smell of it.
Yeah, not even the smell of it. So. Whew, glory be to God. All right, let's see. Verse 44 says, "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me.'" Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So people may not believe you, but it's really not
That's
you
right.
they don't believe. They don't believe he who sent you, which is Jesus
exactly.
from God through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And then he says, "He who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken out of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life, and therefore whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Go ahead with that one, Pastor.
Brother, there is a lot here, but I know God will help us to finish it. But I was looking at verse 49 and 50. Where he says that he did not speak any word unless he had it from the Father. And I was taken by this scripture and verse. I know you know it so well. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, where he says that by thy words, or let's come from 36 verse then to 37, he says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the judgment day. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." But what I was looking at, every idle word that man speaks shall give an account thereof. Jesus was very careful to listen to what the Father is saying, so he would speak.
That's probably the scariest scripture in the Bible.
Yeah. Every idle one, just like you said, he was very specific. He said, Lazarus, come forth. But what if he hadn't said, he didn't say Lazarus, and he just said, come forth. So that means there will be a lot of chaos. And could it be that because of the idle words that go on around us, that sometimes we see different chaos which shouldn't be there?
Wow. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And then there is another one that came to my say. It's in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, where it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. So here we see that the apostle was emphasizing the filthiness that may come forth, or jesting, you know, or the talk that is idle. Because every word that comes forth, I believe it comes forth with power, and it should be creative. So if it's not on the godly side, then that means it's on the evil side.
That's right.
And Jesus was so careful. He says that I should say and I should speak what the Father has given me to speak or to say.
Yes, Lord.
And then when you go back to 4:30, it says, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus was so sure, and we know this, that he is the word according to Revelation.
Well, and that's the whole thing. So, I mean, if you're mad at us because we preach the word and teach the word of truth, then really you're not mad at us. You're mad at God.
Exactly.
And when you look at it from that perspective, that really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Mm-hmm.
How in the world can you be mad at the creator of the universe?
That's right.
But it paints a very vivid and yet a very sad picture of God through His Son and now through the Holy Spirit and through us trying to reach out and help people with the truth of the Word of God to show them the comfort that they so desperately want, the answers to all of their questions, the answers to all of their problems. Are a stone's throw away, and yet because of the hardness of their heart and the fact that their ears are closed and they won't hear the word of God, they walk around in darkness. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. How can you do that? Certainly, I hope and I pray that it's not because they want to do that, because that would really be dumb.
That would truly be dumb.
There's a lot of distractions, and that's what the devil does. That's his job, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And his job is to distract you. And if that's what he can do, and if you allow him to do that, that's why, you know, Jesus was tempted in all the ways that we're tempted. And of course, up on the mount, when he was there for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted of the devil, you know, he said there's only three temptations or three categories. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so all of those things are present, especially in this world, because the Bible says that we're actually supposed to be at enmity with the world. There's supposed to be a huge cavern between us and the world. And he says, if you love the world, you don't love me. So what it really boils down to is a decision of commitment.
That's
you know,
very
and
true.
This is what these folks, I mean, and these folks, you know, had the opportunity to actually physically be in the presence of the Son of the one and only true and living God, and they still refused to get it. You know, and many of them, like I said, they believed, Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't confess out of fear.
Mm.
See, and that's another thing. We cannot walk around in this life as Christians having a spirit of fear, because he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's nothing that we can't do. Everything that we need to do can be done through the power of the Holy Ghost.
So
we have to believe that. If we don't believe that, then our ministries are going to be very weak. We're not going to be able to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish, and we're not going to be able to walk around and speak boldly because we're afraid.
That's true.
You know, I've been on the inside of a jail cell. I don't care if I continue to talk about homosexuality being a sin and all of that kind of. I don't care if they throw me in jail. I've been there, done that. Got the T-shirt, chained, refrigerator, and a baseball hat.
That's right.
At least there I'd have a captive audience.
And, brother, could it be that's when we'll begin to see what happened to Paul and Silas?
I'm just being facetious. That's not.
Yes.
But I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Persecution or Persecuted.
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, I need to get that to you, brother. That thing is absolutely... I was jumping up and down again the other night watching that on Netflix. That thing is just a vivid portrayal of the condition of the church today. So much compromise. Everybody wants to talk about, about the church, but the church is in such a poor condition. It's just unbelievable. It's just horrible, absolutely horrible.
Yes, sir. In fact, as we're talking about the last statement that you made, it took me back to verse 43, where they says that they love the praise of men. And if we love the praise of men, then we won't love the praise of our God, the Father. Because at the end, we want him to say, well done, good and faithful. And brother, that is the word that we want to end on. We want not to receive the praise of men, but the praise of God himself, where at the end he will say, well done, good and faithful.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong, because I used to have a real problem with people saying, man, that was a great sermon you preached, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say, well, just pray, don't praise me, praise God. But then, you know, I realized, and I guess he helped me with this, you know, that there is talent and ability that he's given us, and we need to use it. And when we do it and we do it well, there's nothing wrong with somebody coming up and saying you did a good job. That's to be expected.
That's right.
And there's nothing wrong with accepting that. But I think what they're talking about here is when you crave that,
where somebody
constantly telling me that I did a good job, then that's a problem. That's a real problem.
That's right. Mm.
And that's something we don't want to get into. We want to make sure that we're humble in our blessings, and that we're authentic in our service and
that's
in
right.
our faith. We want our faith to be real, and we want
to
be obedient to do what God has called us to do. Well, we've only got about 90 seconds left, so we're going to wind this up for today. Folks, we encourage you to join us next week on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. We'll be here for an hour. And that's going to be exciting, and I hope that you'll enjoy yourself. And until we meet again, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you bless these folks from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that everything they do would prosper, that they would receive a 30, a 60, a 100, even a 1,000. And we'll just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Jesus.